We acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which we're recording, the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation. This always was and always will be Aboriginal land.
Well, that's what I try to say to myself. Like, you are here on earth to experience everything that this life has to offer you, and this is part of it. Feeling grief, feeling sadness, feeling loneliness, that is also part of this human experience, and it will flow through you and it will transform and it will move on, and you'll also feel joy and love and hope and ecstasy and euphoria and happiness and all those amazing feelings again.
This is Life Chats. Today we have a solo chat with me, your host, Georgia May.
Welcome back to another episode of, wow, I nearly said Try Babies. That's literally not this podcast. Welcome back to another episode of Life Chats. Today you've got a solo chat with me. We're going to be diving deep into part two of my sobriety journey. I've had so many questions and beautiful messages in my DMs about me being sober and my experience. So I thought, what better way to kind of answer those questions than to do this podcast? By now, you probably will have listened to, maybe not, episode one or part one of this sober journey. After I finished that, it went for about 30 minutes. I thought, I haven't really answered or spoken about everything that I want to address today. So part two is a great opportunity to do that. Plus, I also put a question box on my Instagram and asked people to send in their questions about not drinking, sober lifestyle, how to say no in social situations, all these other questions, which we will dive into today. So as a bit of a recap, if you haven't listened to the first episode, I kind of was a bit of a maniac when I used to drink. There's really no other way to put it. I always struggled with alcohol. I felt that since I was 15, 16 years old. I do think binge drinking is really normalized in Australia. It's interesting coming to America. I know there's obviously a huge party scene, but I don't know if they drink in the same way that we do or drink from such an early age to blackout. Like, that's really the goal, I felt like, throughout high school, was to just get blackout drunk nearly every weekend. And that continued into my early 20s. And as I said in the first part of this chat, it just, like, it gets old. It's no longer funny. It's no longer funny to wake up injured and with these crazy stories and anger and anxiety and regret. I just was sick of feeling that way. And it's interesting. I do speak to a lot of people who have quit other substances or smoking. And so many of them try and fail and try and fail and try and fail. I don't even want to use the word fail because it's an attempt and it gets you closer to being that strong person who has the skills to say no and to actually stick to the promises that they keep with themselves. But let's say that they try and they don't succeed and they have to try again and again and again. Some people have that experience and it's like a slow and gradual change and transformation in their life. And other people just wake up one day and do the cold turkey thing and just decide that they're never going to drink or smoke or take drugs again. And it's literally just a switch that's been flicked and they're able to stick to it. And for me, that's what it was. But I do believe the reason I was able to do that is because I got to a point where feeling the way I felt after waking up after a big night or a binge or a bender, not that I really did benders, but, you know, drinking Friday, Saturday, Sunday, every single weekend, waking up after that was a pain that I physically could not be in anymore, mentally a pain that was just, I just couldn't be in that. I couldn't experience that one more time. And that's what spurred the cold turkey for me. So for some people, yeah, it is a gradual learning and an experimentation of what feels good and maybe doing periods of no drinking or low alcohol. And that's totally awesome too. Like, if you manage to not drink for a couple of weeks or 1 week or go to a party and just decide not to drink for that one event, that's also a huge accomplishment and you should be proud. And that's an achievement that is worth celebrating, particularly in our culture. But I can't go back, I think. I'm open to later in my life reassessing when the time feels right. But I just can't go back to that. And something that was really interesting that I spoke about with Trent Knox on the podcast was this idea that addicts can't just do things with balance or with normality. You don't tell someone who is addicted to drugs to just have a little bit. That's the entire reason they're addicted. They don't know how. And that's the irony, is that the people around you when you're drinking, I don't think it's seen in the same light as heavy drugs. And of course, it doesn't have the same effects. It doesn't impact life in the way that other substances does. But in many ways, that's almost more dangerous because nobody takes it seriously when you're struggling. Nobody knows what a person who struggles with alcohol really looks like, because you can be extremely high functioning. You can also maintain relationships, maintain a really good social life, have an amazing job, all these things. And no one really knows what goes on behind closed doors or what that person might be feeling or struggling with internally. And that was certainly the case for me. I might have looked like I was fine with alcohol. I could go out, have a drink with friends, go to the pub on the weekend, have a drink with family. No one would probably on the outside looking in think she really struggles, but I think it's the mental torment and the thoughts that go on, the incessant thinking that goes on around drinking that can't be trained. I just don't believe that that is something that can be dealt with. Like, I don't think that you can just learn to be a person who is addicted to alcohol or a person who's addicted to smoking. I don't know if I even want to label myself as being that, but only I know how it felt to drink in my body and in my mind. And it truly felt like a compulsive behavior that could not be stopped and could not have boundaries around it. So that's been my experience. I also think that any addiction is a form of self-harm. And this is something that I've spoken about with my therapist, but you're harming yourself, you're harming your body, and you're harming your mind. Obviously, that's quite clear on the outset, but to lean into behaviors that you know make you feel shit, that you know are going to have really disastrous consequences in some occasions, that is a form of self-harm. And so for me, a big part of learning to heal from this behavior and learning to move forward has been around self-love and making decisions that are in line with how I truly feel about myself now, that reflect the innate respect that I have for my body, the incredible love that I have for my body, and the love that I have for life. Like, that's certainly something that I really feel is so true for me now. I love life. I'm so grateful to be here. I wake up almost every day. Of course, I have shit days and I have really tough, depressive periods. I have periods where I'm exhausted. I don't want to get out of bed. I question myself. I question life. But I, at the end of the day, I always feel grateful that I'm even existing and alive to experience that emotion. Like, emotions are temporary. Anxiety, depression, I believe, is all temporary. It passes through you. And it's actually a privilege that we're even alive to feel it. Like, I think human existence is just a spectrum. And how incredible is it that some people feel emotions more deeply than others, and you get to experience more than that the regular person does. And that's what I say to myself when I'm having a really shit day still. They're few and far between because of my control around behaviors and not doing things that deliberately make me feel bad. But that's what I try to say to myself. Like, you are here on earth to experience everything that this life has to offer you. And this is part of it. Feeling grief, feeling sadness, feeling loneliness, that is also part of this human experience. And it will flow through you and it will transform and it will move on. And you'll also feel joy and love and hope and ecstasy and euphoria and happiness and all those amazing feelings again. And that's been the truth. So I think a big part of it is, yeah, self-love, learning to feel my feelings that were uncomfortable or really painful, like sitting in painful experiences, knowing that it's okay, knowing that it will pass. Alcohol is a big band-aid solution to painful emotions, to stress, to anxiety, to loneliness, to not feeling worthy enough. Like, alcohol just slaps a massive band-aid on that and allows you for a few hours or for a few days or for a period of time to feel something else, which is often joy, for some people, they feel worse. They feel more sad. It obviously is a depressant, but, and that would often happen with me. I'd feel like amazing. I'd be partying and dancing, and then the night would spiral and I would end up crying and hysterical because those feelings are still there, right? So I think becoming more aware and curious around why I felt the way I felt and facing those feelings and those emotions rather than trying to disguise them, hide them, suppress them has been a huge help. And to be honest, I don't really have those feelings anymore that I used to have when I was a big drinker because I have addressed them. I've gone to therapy. I've literally gone into what I think is the depths of my soul, and I've tried to address those feelings and look at them and stare at them and say, it's okay. Thank you for being here and for showing me what I need to know, what I need to learn about myself. But I don't need to feel this all the time. I don't need to sit here all the time. I can acknowledge this and move on. So that's been really, really helpful. Journaling obviously is amazing because all your often suppressed feelings and emotions come up when you do like a bit of a brain dump onto a journal with no expectations around what it needs to look like or sound like. I try and do that daily as well. So yeah, it's been a journey. It hasn't been like, as much as I say it was cold turkey, it was a flick of the switch. That was just the start of it. That's just the start, is making the decision or being forced to make the decision. The journey is actually where the value is, I think, is like showing up constantly, having to make decisions that reinforce your promise to yourself, having to be constantly faced with situations that are uncomfortable, learning how to advocate for yourself or explain your situation or connect with others and relate to others in a way that feels true for what you're going through. That's all part of it. Like, I feel really confident and solid in where I'm at now. People don't really question why I'm not drinking. It's really no big deal, especially in America. I find it really interesting. I'm obviously in America at the moment. I've moved here and it's so not a big deal. Like, to not drink, no one bats an eyelid because there's a huge movement over here for people who, not that I will be partaking in this, but there's a movement, they call it Cali Sober, where people take mushrooms and smoke a lot of weed and don't drink alcohol. So to say you don't drink is like not really a big deal, but I'm like fully sober. So it's nice. It's nice to not have to explain myself. I also think it's just a maturity thing, like hanging out with people in their 30s and their 40s, no one cares. You don't need to explain your life story as to why you don't drink. So just know that if you're younger and people are questioning you or peer pressuring you, that is totally a maturity thing. Either don't hang out with the people that do that because they're not probably true friends if they're peer pressuring you or grilling you as to why you're not drinking, or just know that it will pass. Like, people get over it the first few times you tell your story, it's exciting, and then it's pretty boring after that. So yeah, I guess that's a little bit of information around what the start of my journey was and what worked for me and where I'm at now. I would like to go into some of the questions that people asked on Instagram, because I think that will be helpful whether you're listening to this episode for the first time or you've listened to part one. A few people asked, what made you want to stop? I think I've answered that. Basically, I just never had a positive relationship with alcohol. I wrote, nights would always end super dramatically. And close friends and I laugh in disbelief at some of the stuff that went down. True. Like, oh, it gives me the shivers and I just cringe at some of the stories. Not like when you're crazy and young and drunk and you have these funny stories. I get like scared thinking about the things that I did because I'm just so lucky that nothing really, really bad happened. Like, I didn't seriously injure myself or someone else. I have videos as well of me like genuinely sculling vodka, like taking a bottle of vodka. Oh, I actually still remember it, like a blue bottle of Smirnoff, and sculling it and posting it on social media, like as if it was water. And I can't even look at those videos. I've archived them all because no one will ever, 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 ever see them. But yeah, it was just a wild time. Someone else said, was it hard? Did you ever want a break? Of course, yes, there were definitely some harder parts at the start. Like I mentioned, just learning to navigate what to say to people, I think, was one of the hardest things. A lot of my friends knew my journey and my experience, so they didn't really question it. But I still to this day get people say, like, when are you going to have a drink? When do you think you'll stop? It's like, maybe never. I don't know. What baffles me is like, I would never ask someone who's who's decided to quit smoking, when are you going to have a cigarette again? It feels awkward. But I understand that for some of my friends, they saw this as like a bit of a cleanse or a challenge or like a I'm not going to drink for 6 months thing, a bit of a reset. But honestly, within the first 3 months, I knew that this was it. Like this was the change that I needed to make. I think I was just telling myself that it was a temporary thing, honestly, to trick myself into doing it as a mental trick to committing. Because if I had said, I'm going to not drink for the rest of my life, oh my God, of course I wouldn't have stuck to that. No one sticks to that. It's like when you say I'm never going to eat sugar again, or I'm never going to go on my phone again before I go to sleep. Like it's just unrealistic to set those expectations of yourself. Whereas if you can take baby steps and build your self-confidence along the way, it's often a lot more likely to be successful. So if anyone's listening and there's some sort of habit that you want to break or just like a cycle that you're stuck in, that would be my suggestion to you, is that pick something that's really achievable and get your confidence up and keep your promise to yourself. We break a lot of promises to ourselves when we say we're going to do things that we don't. And it can be as simple as saying, I'm going to go for a walk in the morning, and then you don't go. Like that's breaking a promise with yourself. And when you do that, you start to doubt what you're capable of. So I would say pick something small. I actually had a close friend message me the other day and say like, how did you do it? Did you have an app that tracked how many days you went? And I just said, no, I didn't have an app. Maybe pick like a period of time. I don't want to put that number on it for you. It might be a week. It might be 2 weeks. It might be 2 months. Pick something that feels like a little bit of a challenge, but nothing impossible, and stick to it. Plan ahead. Know that you're going to have social outings. Know that you're going to have people offer you alcohol. Like, be prepared. Don't wait until you're in the moment to decide, because most likely when you're in the moment, you will not stick to your promise. You'll get caught up in the, you know, the excitement of it all. And that's honestly what happened to me so many times. I was only close, genuinely close, once when I was at a Halloween party, and it was just such a good night. Like it was for work. It was this media event. It was like a really big media event. There were all these big names there, celebrities. There was like ice sculptures with vodka like coming in and out of them. You could put your mouth up to this ice sculpture and like suck the vodka out of it. It was a whole thing. And I was there with my best friend and I was just like, oh, I really want to drink. I just want to like drink and have a good night, you know? But that's how I felt in the moment. When I woke up the next day, I didn't fucking feel like that. I was like, thank God I did not drink. I absolutely have no doubt that that was the right thing to do. Like the next day is always when you know that you did the right thing, because you feel good, you feel fresh, you kept your promise to yourself. So you just have to plan ahead and know that you'll be faced with those moments the whole way along and be prepared. Have a line in your head, and you know what you're going to say when people ask you, why aren't you drinking? Just know what you're going to say. Rehearse it out loud if you have to, so it feels natural. Plan ahead, basically, is all I want to say about that. Another thing in terms of this person asking, was it ever hard and you wanted to break? Of course, as I mentioned, a lot of this journey for me has been around emotional regulation and stress management. Like I would drink because I would have really stressful week, or like feel really emotionally unsteady and unstable, and it would bring me peace and relaxation. Honestly, from my own mind, I have a very intense mind. It feels like it never stops. I do know my mind quite well, but it is quite incessant. And so drinking was like this temporary relief from that. It was like, all the thoughts are quiet and I don't have to worry about anything. I can just worry about having a good fucking time, and I can worry about everything later. I can worry about that later. I can worry about that shit tomorrow. I can deal with my life tomorrow. That was literally what my mind was like when I was drinking. And yeah, I miss that. Of course I miss that. Who wouldn't want to like numb their entire mind out and just have a good time? But it's been about finding things that bring me that same feeling. And there's nothing that brings me that same feeling, of course, without, unless I were to do drugs, substances, plant medicine, whatever you want to call it, like some sort of mind altering thing. But what does work really, really well for me are meditative activities, like, well, first up, meditation. The best mind numbing thing you can do is to actually sit there and actively quieten your thoughts. And obviously it takes practice, and people listen to this and say, I can't meditate. I don't know how. I can't stop my thoughts. That is literally the entire purpose of meditating, is to learn how to do that, and they never go away. Like, I think even the most experienced Buddhists and monks and even Gandhi would have still had thoughts when he was meditating, maybe only one an hour or one a day, but he still would have had a thought that popped into his head. To say to yourself that you have to have no thoughts, and if you don't meditate like that, then you're a bad meditator, is honestly, in my experience, just an excuse that people say because they're scared or afraid of the discomfort of meditating and the fear of the unknown. So they tell themselves that they can't do it, and then they don't have to try.
A quick break from the episode to speak about our reviews. Now, Life Chats has recently hit over 30,000 listens, which is honestly incredible. So exciting. But we only have 18 reviews on Apple Podcasts, which is a bit sad. So it would mean the world if you could just take 1 minute out of your day to leave a written review for us, either on Apple or Spotify. There is truly so much time and care and effort that goes into these episodes. I research, edit, host, distribute, do everything all by myself. And I don't make any money from this show. I do it because the stories deserve to be heard and I truly love it. So if you could do that review, that would mean the world. You can also follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Life Chats Podcast if you don't already. The goal is to build a bigger community so I can continue producing these inspiring conversations. Thanks so much for being here. Back to the episode.
Also, running for me is really meditative, especially long distance running, because it's less about fitness in the sense that you're not focused on like, oh my God, I'm dying. This is so hard. I can't breathe. Like, your heart rate's not super high. Long distance running is about endurance and pace and breath work. Like, if I were to go for a 25 kilometer run, I would be breathing in a rhythm and I would most likely be listening to music or nothing. And that is a form of meditation for me. That's one experience that I can do that I know my thoughts are really, really quiet because I'm in the moment. Like, it forces you to be in this moment. And you also know it's going to go for a couple of hours. So you kind of surrender yourself to the fact that, like, I always say to myself at the start of long distance runs or really hard physical activities, I have this mantra that is settle in, settle in. It's like just telling my mind, we're here, we've arrived, settle in. You worrying about this or you stressing about this or you wishing this would end is not going to make it go any quicker. Like, you're here now. It's an experience. So just settle in. And that often allows my mental chatter to die down. So there are a couple, meditating, running. If you don't like doing either of those, I think there's so many other things out there. Being creative, if you like painting or making music or getting into a sort of creative flow, getting out in nature helps to reduce the mental chatter and quieten the mind. Anything that allows you to be present in your body and know that it's safe to be in your body and it's safe to feel uncomfortable feelings, and practicing that on a daily or weekly basis honestly will help so much. It's normal to feel stressed. It's normal to have stressful weeks and wish that would go away. What's not normal is drinking as the only escape to that feeling and refusing to address what might be behind that feeling. I'm just looking at photos of, I went to a few different events. It was really hard for me actually, because the first 3 months of my sobriety journey, I had to, one, come out of lockdown, which was a massive like party town in Bondi. And I assume everywhere else, it was like, we've survived this 3 month, 4 month situation. Let's go out and get wild. Like, let's party, let's dance. That was what I was navigating in, honestly, my first 2 months of coming out of lockdown. I was like 6 weeks into sobriety and having to go to all these events and say no to drinking. I also had I graduated my bachelor's in that time. So I had like family events and lunches and dinners. I had my birthday. This is all within the first 3 months, and then Christmas. So, I mean, if you can get through all of that without having a drink, I honestly felt like I could do anything at that point. I had had all the big events that usually happen within a year. I had done them sober, and that just like proved to myself that I could do this. So I would suggest, if you really want to commit to this, if you're listening because you're curious about actually giving it a shot, not forever, but maybe for a really good period of time, like a 6 to 12 month period of time, I would honestly just try and tackle some big events. Like, go to a wedding, don't drink. Go to a birthday party, don't drink. Like, When you can get through that, you just know that you can do it. And it's much easier. Plus, for me, I didn't drink non-alcoholic beverages. I tried a couple and I didn't really like them because I never really enjoyed the taste of alcohol. I drank to get drunk. But for people that do enjoy how wine or beer tastes, there's so many amazing, amazing, amazing brands on market, sugar-free options that will allow you to feel part of the normal activity. Like you're pouring a drink, you get to sit there and sip a drink. And for those who don't like that, just drink like a soda water or make yourself a mocktail, like grapefruit juice with lime in it and a bit of mint. Amazing. Like I enjoy making mocktails. And it's so interesting because when I go to events and I have a mocktail, or if I'm in the kitchen and I'm making one, you would be surprised. The people that are like, oh, I'll have one, or yeah, I won't drink with you. And when I'm out at dinner, if I say I'm not drinking, often it's just the like safety blanket that someone else was waiting for or that they needed to feel like it was okay for them to not drink too. So that's been my experience with that. Else, oh, and New Year's Eve, obviously. Although I hate New Year's Eve, like unpopular opinion, overrated. This was even like when I did drink, it was just always a letdown. I would hate, I'm such a like spiritual and ritualistic person. I would hate waking up on the first day of the flipping year and I would be hungover and I'd feel like shit. I would feel like that would set the tone for my entire year. Now, oh my gosh, it's so important to me. I have to go to bed early. I have to wake up and go for like a swim or get my feet in the sand or go for a walk and do something that's like really positive and grounding, write in my journal, meditate, stretch, whatever. Have a beautiful morning and like set the tone and set the intention for the year. Like that is what I actually enjoy doing now. There'll be people listening that will hate that and won't do that. That's fine. But for me, like there's just nothing less that I would rather, like there's just nothing enticing to me about going out and getting fucked on New Year's Eve. No, yuck. Okay. Someone said, how do you cope in social events with friends that are big drinkers? And I said, everyone I know has been nothing but supportive, but I had a few tricks up my sleeve at the start, which is true. I actually had a few things I would say or do, sneaky, at the start when I felt like the people that I was going out with were just not the type of supportive. Like maybe it was friends that I didn't really know very well or like extended friend groups that I just didn't want to explain myself to. I had a few things that I would say. So if you're in that situation, listen up. I would say I'm not drinking at the moment for insert reason here. Up to you what you want to say. I would say like for my health, because I'm training for a triathlon, because I haven't been well lately. Lol, true. Haven't been mentally well, dull. Yeah, like I would just insert a reason as to why I'm not drinking at the moment. And they'd be like, cool. They wouldn't ask. They really would never ask a follow-up question because it's boring. Who wants to ask about that? I would also tell friends before a night out, I'm not drinking tonight, because if anyone asks you or presses you to drink after you've said that the day before or the day of, then they're a shit friend. Like I would just say, guys, heads up, I'm not drinking tonight. Don't bother asking me. And that works. Like I have good friends. They're not going to push me or pressure me. And then I would also order my drinks on my own. So rather than like being at a table and everyone's like, let's get around, or like someone goes, I'll get you a drink, I would often just like go to the bathroom and pick up a drink on my way back so that people didn't have to buy a drink for me or I didn't have to explain myself. I'd always have my drink in my hand. I would often order like a soda water with lime. And I'm afraid to admit, I actually did like on a few occasions, or people are like, what are you drinking? I would just say vodka, soda, and lime. Like if people were really that annoying that they would care, I would just tell them it was vodka soda when it was just soda water. But I would only suggest doing that if you're really, really, really nervous and scared about going out and what people will think. I promise you they don't care. But if you feel the need to do that, do that. Otherwise, just try and own it. Like now, I don't give a fuck what people think. Whatever. It's alcohol. It's not even a big deal. Like honestly, I can't even stress how much people don't care. Someone said, why do you think you struggle with alcohol? I think the last two episodes and nearly hour of talking will cover that. But yeah, a combination of things. Low self-worth at the time, inability to face my emotions or sit in discomfort and like painful emotions. Perhaps a genetic contribution. Like I know addiction can run in families, and I've in my wider family seen a lot of family members struggle with similar issues. So yeah, perhaps that could be part of it. But yeah, I would say that's the same for any sort of addictive behavior, whether it's like food, sex, or alcohol, or drugs, or working. You can be addicted to work. Like, it's honestly just this feeling of you hate what you're doing, you hate it, and you hate yourself for doing it, but you don't know how to stop. And that to me is the definition of addiction. It's like compulsive behavior that you don't know how to stop, that is harmful to you, but you feel compelled to do it. Honestly, everyone I've spoken to who has felt similar things agrees with that. It's like they're an all or nothing personality. They don't believe in gray. They can't like do balance. They can't just like learn to behave in a more balanced way. They're all or nothing. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think you just have to learn yourself and the way that you behave. And if that's something that you struggle with, like you are a pretty intense all or nothing person, go all in on the behaviors that feel good for you. Go all in on the things that are positive and that make you feel good. And eventually, when you're ready, go nothing on the ones that don't. But also know that if you fuck up, if you slip up and you can't stick to nothing, then it's okay too. It's actually normal and it's very human, and it would be abnormal and unusual if you were to, like I even say to myself, it would be highly unlikely and like pretty insane and amazing if I were to never drink again my entire life. I stopped at 25. Like, that'd be pretty cool and I would love that, but also it might not happen and that's okay, and I'm not going to beat myself up. I'm going to just trust that in the moment I will always make decisions that are good for me, and I'm not going to beat myself up if I don't. Someone said, what have been the benefits you've noticed for not drinking? Oh girl. Let me tell you, and I'm saying girl because I know a girl asked this because I know who asked this. What a great way to finish this episode. There are so many. I don't want to speak about this from a scientific point of view because there are so many resources out there that will tell you the scientific and quantifiable health benefits of not drinking. There are many. Longer living, for example, less weight gain, less heart attack risk. There's so many. I'm just so not qualified to speak about that. Follow Dr. Daniel Amen and so many other people. I'll put in the show notes if you want to learn about that. For me, what have been the benefits? Better sleep, just better sleep quality. Obviously, if you're drinking two or three nights of the week, you don't get into deep sleep. You don't have REM sleep, so you don't feel you don't wake up feeling restored. Also, less anxiety, just generally across the board. I think that's a combination of me also going to therapy. I really don't experience anxiety anymore. I had anxiety for a really long time in my teens and early 20s, and I would label myself as someone that had anxiety. And now that label just doesn't feel right because I don't. I feel stress and I feel overwhelmed at times, but I don't struggle with anxiety. Like, it's just not a feeling that's there for me anymore, which is so fucking good. And I think a reflection of me doing this work and being willing to face the issues that were bringing me anxiety. That's the tea. Fitter and faster gym recovery. Yeah, babe. Why would you go to the gym, work out so hard? It's fucking hard enough. It's so exhausting. Only to basically undo all your hard work on the weekend, blow out. The amount of calories that are in alcohol is astronomical. The amount of calories that you consume in your hangover foods is astronomical. I'm not shaming anyone who has a drunk night out once a week or once every now and then. Go for it. I blow out. I still eat a whole pizza. I still do things that aren't super healthy. But doing that regularly and then expecting to see results, like genuine athletic results, if you're training for triathlons, marathons, races, or just lifting weights and trying to grow your muscle mass, it's just never going to happen. Like, you're basically on a seesaw and you're just balancing out all the good work you do with these massive weekends. So for me, fitter, healthier, faster, better, stronger, baby. I also wrote that I enjoyed life more. Yes, I did. See, point A, B, and C. Better sleep, less anxiety, and fitter and faster and healthier. Of course, I just enjoyed life more. Stronger relationships because, one, I wasn't doing damaging things to them on the weekend and like saying things I shouldn't be saying and offending people without meaning to and hurting people's feelings and just being generally a fucking public nuisance and annoying the hell out of people. And also because my social circle basically changed as soon as I stopped drinking. So I have always had the most incredible, incredible, incredible lifelong friends that will never change. I have a core group of about 5 to 6 people that are really incredible and huge influences on my life. Maybe more like 8 people. And then had a wider circle of people that I would like text or call up when I wanted to go out and get drunk and party. And they were like people I didn't really care to hang out with on the weekend or like go and sit down and have a dinner with and speak to them face to face. It was like just people I could go and party with. So that all fell away. I stopped speaking to those people. Just naturally it fizzled out. And I was just better and happier for it. Better, stronger relationships. More self-compassion, which I've spoken about. Increased willpower, true, because you prove to yourself that you can do hard things. That's a little line that Elizabeth Gilbert or Brené Brown, one of those wonderful women says, we can do hard things. Yeah, you just got to prove to yourself you can do them. Fortified promises to myself, it's basically the same thing. A sense of pride. It contributed to my IBS healing, which again, I don't want to say that that's genuinely a medical benefit of not drinking, but alcohol is really inflammatory and the foods that you eat when you're hungover are really inflammatory. And so when I cut that back, my IBS started to heal, which is interesting because so did my anxiety. And obviously the two are linked through the gut-brain barrier and the vagus nerve. So I did a lot of learning about the gut during my sobriety journey. I enjoyed healthier food more because, and this is something I'll talk about in another episode, but I just enjoyed doing things that felt good and cared for my body. I've got more balance now. I definitely eat quote unquote bad foods or like foods that are less healthy, but I started to enjoy foods that were healthy more because the other options were not what I was reaching for because I knew how to manage my stress. And again, food can be a big sort of band-aid for stress. And then no post-drunk night out injuries. I used to have a lot. And bodily autonomy. I wasn't doing things that I regretted. I wasn't sleeping with people off my face and then feeling like shit the next day and feeling used and worthless. Like that's how I would feel. It was just a gross feeling. It was just horrible. Anyway, I don't feel that anymore either because I just don't do it. The sex that I do have is amazing because I'm sober. Also, let me just put that out there. If you want to do an activity that is very hard, sober, have sex with a stranger. Have sex with a stranger without having a drink on a first date, let me tell you, you'll be feeling invincible. It's fucking hard. It's scary because you have nothing to give you confidence. It has to come from within, which I have, but it is hard to learn that. And I would say just like dive in and do it because it's also really fun and you feel pretty cool for doing it. So yeah, I've also been on dates with a couple of people that have been so lovely that when I say I don't drink, like not I'm not drinking tonight, I'm just like, oh, I don't drink. They're like, cool, I won't drink with you. I actually went on a date with a guy who was like, cool, I like mocktails, let's get mocktails. I was like, oh no, you can definitely have a drink. Like it doesn't affect me. If you want to, please do. And he was like, no, I'd rather not drink with you, which I think is nice and cool. I think we should wrap this up. I'm getting to the end of my highlights. Oh my gosh, there's a journal entry I've posted. I think I should read it out. This was in 2021, and I think this was off the back of me, a big night out. I was doing some reflecting. I wrote, why do I like to punish myself? When did I first make an agreement with myself that I had to prove myself? Where did I learn this style of behavior from? Where does my need for control come from? And where did I first feel out of control? And why do I want to change my body? When in my life have I felt that my body wasn't good enough? So I obviously was doing some work there around drinking to feel confident in my body, to feel a sense of control. That's just so interesting to reflect on because I know the answers to all of those questions now. I would suggest you skip back and listen to those questions again and write them down and see if anything comes up for you. I heard them in a podcast and that they really helped me. Someone asked, yeah, have you slipped up at the beginning? Yes, I went to Ravisi's with my friends the first weekend out of lockdown and we were like basically running to the pub. We were so excited in our heels. We were sweating. I distinctly remember we were sweating. We get there, we sit down. We're like, oh my God, we made it. We had the best table view of the ocean. And I said a lime soda, which is a weird way to say things. I should probably have said soda water with lime. I said lime soda, which sounds a lot like vodka lime soda. And she brought our drinks out and I drank like, honestly, I just sculled it because I was so thirsty because it was so hot. And I got halfway through the glass and I just looked at my friend Lily. I was like, oh my God, it's vodka. It's vodka, no. And she was like, it doesn't count. It doesn't count. Like you did not order that drink. You like, it does not count. It's fine. You've had like a couple of sips. That was the only time I ever tasted alcohol, essentially, in the 2.5 years that I've been sober. And I didn't really even feel anything. But if you slip up by accident or not by accident, just start again. Like, don't even play into that. Don't beat yourself up. Just keep going. Tomorrow's a new day. Start again. Try again. That's it. I just want to pass on my love to anyone who's struggling right now or wanting to experiment with low alcohol or no alcohol life. You can totally hit me up if you have any questions or thoughts or feelings that you want to share. I'd love to chat to you about it. You can do this. Challenge yourself, commit to it, promise yourself that you will love yourself enough and respect yourself enough to make decisions out of love and care for yourself. Know that you're not perfect, that if you slip up, it's fine. We are human beings. We're here to live and learn and grow, and we're here to just experience life. So know that it's all part of the journey. Do what feels right for you. Only you know what feels right for you, and only you can make decisions that you know are truly in your highest, for your highest self. So I would just say that, yeah, drop the judgment, drop the shame, drop the stories around why you think you need to do this. If you feel called to try it, try it. And I'm here to help you and hold your hand along the way. Thanks for listening. Another solo episode down. I'm sitting here in my Airbnb in Venice, California. I'll probably be in Australia by the time this gets released. I've got to head back for some work things and to get the rest of my stuff that I didn't bring over. I sell my car, all those fun things. Can't believe I'm moving to America. Can't believe I'm here. What a journey. Thank you for coming along for the ride. I hope you like these solo episodes too. To be honest, truth be told, I hate the sound of my voice. It's so painful to listen to, but a lot of people are saying that it's calm and nice to listen to. So if you're one of those people, thank you. Wow. I also think that the solo episodes are fun because you get to hear more of my personality and get to know me a bit more personally. So I'll keep doing them. I would love to hear any thoughts or topics you'd like me to discuss next. I think we need to do an episode on dating. Mm-hmm. I've had a bit of a journey. So like anything in life, I'm happy to share it if it's going to help others. I think we need to do an episode on dating and sex and all those fun things that I spoke about with my therapist on the first episode of Life Chats. That's had almost more views than any other, listens, not views, but more listens than any other episode. So I'm going to take that as a sign that people want to hear more. Maybe it's just because I spoke about my sex stories. Honestly, if you're like a gross old man listening, go away, please. Anything for the analytics, babe. But I think I need to go. I'm a bit tired. I need to go and eat some dinner. Thanks for being here. Thanks for listening. I'm your host, Georgia May, and this is Life Chats. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. Please let me know who you'd love me to chat to next, or if you have a story of your own you'd like to share, you can connect with me directly on Instagram at Life Chats Podcast, one word. Until next time, I'm Georgia May, and this is Life Chats.